Welcome to the BOTUS podcast. I'm Jacek from BOTUS, and today I am bringing to you Dr. Carlo De Annuntis from Rome. Carlo has got a private practice in Rome. Actually, he's a periodontist, but apart from that, he has also been active as a lecturer at various events in the past. So it is a great pleasure to have him here today. Welcome, Carlo. Welcome to the BOTUS podcast.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you to you. Thank you to BOTUS for this opportunity. And thanks to all the colleagues who like to hear my experience.
Mm-hmm. So, Carlo, yeah, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who's Carlo De Annuntis?
Just a little bit. I'm from Rome, as you said, but actually I was born almost 40 years ago. I'm going to turn my 30 in 4 or 5 weeks next month. And I was born in Anzio, the little town near Rome. It's very famous, you know, Jacek, because the American landed during World War II, landed in Anzio. I was graduated in 2005, 15 years ago, and I went on to achieve 2 masters. The first one in 2007 at the University of Chieti in advanced surgery and implantology, and the second one in 2014 at the University of Siena in periodontology. What else? My career has been growing for many years, thanks to the CDP, the Italian Society of Periodontology, where I met where I met absolutely the best periodontist in the world. The CDP is leader in periodontology. And so I had, and I have always the opportunity to try to catch up with their levels. Today is 15 years I am in the CDP, and I'm going to think to the CDP like a big family, a great group of friends.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a private practice in Rome, right?
Yeah. I do.
Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah. I do solely periodontology and, of course, implantology. Implantology as a part of periodontology. And yes, in my dental clinic in Rome. So my life is in Rome, but I like to always remember I'm from Anzio. I was born in Anzio because the sea is inside me.
Mm-hmm. And as a periodontist, what are usual surgeries that you perform in your practice, like on an everyday basis? What is the most common one?
Well, absolutely, implantology is the most common. But as periodontist, my effort is all to save teeth. Probably I can say, if you said me which one is the worst surgery you usually do, the extraction of impacted tooth is really the worst. And the best one is when it is one of the regeneration around teeth. It's very impressive because you can say to the patient, you can say to the teeth, stay calm, keep living.
Yeah. In fact, regeneration surgeries is something that you do on a very frequent basis. So actually an expert in regeneration. Do you remember the first time that you got in touch with BOTUS?
Yeah, probably it was 4 or 5 years ago, thanks to my seller, because he left to me the first BOTUS product, the Mucoderm. My first touch with BOTUS was actually with Mucoderm. And I will remember when I used the first time the Mucoderm. If you want, I can tell you. Or if you prefer.
Yeah, sure. Tell us a little bit. Yeah, how was your experience with the Mucoderm?
Well, I think I'm falling in love with Mucoderm, and I'm going to explain you why. It was in 2016 or 15 or 16. I think 16, and you know, Mucoderm was the first three-dimensional matrix on the market. And actually, probably you can confirm me, in which year Mucoderm came on the market? 2015, 14?
So Mucoderm was launched 6 or 7 years ago, yes.
And if you remember, in that... in that period, soft tissue management, especially around implants, wasn't widely considered. From this point of view, Botys was really a modern company, and between us, I really appreciated this, and I really loved from the beginning Botys. Even for this modernity, even for understand the changing trend. So the first patient was about a young woman, about 30 years, maybe less. She had been missing two teeth in the lower jaw, premolar and the molar, and I performed a huge GBR, during which I placed two implants. After the healing period, I mean 5-6 months, I was ready to place the healing abutment. But when I opened a little flap, when I raised the flap, I checked the one of the implant, the mesial, I think, the premolar. Had two, probably 3 millimeters out of the bone, just the first two threads. So, what could I do? A new bone regeneration, I mean, a new bone particulate, a new membrane. Most of all, the full thickness opening of the flap. Or otherwise, I have to harvest from the palate, and so tell to the young lady, I'm sorry, I have to give you one more anesthesia in the palate. It will be a little pain. And so suddenly I thought about the matrix that Luca, my seller, has left me probably a couple of weeks earlier. And so I think, why not? And you know, Jacek, I think a lot of success has started opening the door with the inscription, why not? And that's what happened, because after 10 minutes of hydration, the Mucoderm was placed. And the healing was very good. And today, after more than four years of follow-up, I can see any difference between the two implants. I mean, the one covered by bone and the one covered by Mucoderm. That was the first.
Yeah. So that was what 4 years ago you mentioned, and the Mucoderm, are you still using it today in your practice?
Yes, absolutely. From that way, from that point, I started. I began a learning curve with this novel and specific material, And today I'm used to think about mucoderm as a precious ally of my surgery, of my soft tissue management.
So Carlo, I remember one of the first time that we met, it was in Rome, I think, yeah, about 2 years ago, and you did a fantastic course there. It was a whole day course, I remember, on the topic of regeneration. And what really was striking to me, you were talking a lot, like almost the whole day, about soft tissue management. Maybe we can delve a little bit into this topic. How do you see the role of soft tissue management
playing? Yeah. Thanks for the question. You know, actually, when I am called to lecture, the focus of my lecture is always the same, is the so-called perio-implantology. Namely, the perio-implantology is the close connection between the implant and the whole peri-implant tissue. Because today, placing an implant is not enough, and the bone integration can be the only one target. We want, as dentists, we want to restore a tooth. It means recreating a perfect implant-supported crown surrounded by healthy tissue. And if you think today, the world of implantology is amazing. Just think about the novel surface we have, the active surfaces we have, which promise to achieve the osseointegration just in few weeks, or the novel shapes of the implants of the fixture to achieve the primary stability. And this is just for the from my point of view, from the point of view of the implantologist. But think also about the other side, the point of view of the prosthodontic. They can choose about a lot of abutment. Just think how vast is the choice in terms of materials. They can choose between among the deer hold metal ceramic, the full ceramic, the zirconia. And above all this, there is technology. Either for the implantologist, just think about the computer-driven implantology, or the prosthodontic, or for the prosthodontic side, just think about we have the intraoral scanner, so we avoid to use paste, alginates, silicones, polysulfide. They have an horrible taste and a bad smell. So the technology today give us a huge help. So what I'm saying is the pathway is very predictable from the placing of the implant to the final crown. As a periodontist, I put myself in the middle. Of course, I place the implant, but when the implant is still in the bone, I suddenly think about the peri-implant tissue, because my target can be just put a fixture in a bone. My target is to permit to my colleague, to my friends, to my brother, because my prosthodontic is my brother, to permit to do his best job. This is what I call the periocare concept, okay? I changed the name of perioimplantology in periocare concept, because from my side, is a concept, is a way to think, not just to the fixture, but even more to the soft tissue, to the peri-implant tissue. Either the bone, either or the soft tissue.
Mm-hmm. So let me rephrase, if I understand correctly, you see soft tissue management as an integral part of the whole process in dentistry, right?
Because I think I'm young. Do you think the same? Okay.
Of course.
But actually, I've been working for 15 years. It started to be enough. But when during these years, my flap have really changed. I started. I began placing implants 15 years ago, and in that time, Jacek, it was mandatory opening a full thickness flap. The old surgeons and they were our teachers. They said they want to see totally white bone, no blood, and it was an old teaching that I've almost forgotten. And telling the truth, there are a lot of old teaching I put aside, because today. Today I always open a split thickness flap. At least I have to perform a huge GBR. But my flap has changed a lot of, and today I always open a split thickness flap.
So so Carlo, you mentioned the perio concept, perio care concept. So our podcast has a lot of young listeners who are maybe starting also in the world of periodontology. Can you explain a little bit to our listeners what the whole concept is about?
Yes. Okay, as I say, that the perio concept is my way to think about the modern implantology. So I'm a periodontist, so my life are the soft tissue around tooth, and so I just moved my focus from the soft tissue around teeth to the soft tissue around implants. I guess that just placing an implant is not enough. And if several years ago, and I mean more than 15, more than 20, there were two, three, probably four companies leading in implantology, and they have a wonderful outcome of integration. Today, the company who can achieve the integration are almost all, and I mean probably hundreds and hundreds. So the attention can be focused just on the bone, just on the fixture. But I need to give to my prosthodontic an healthy peri-implant tissue, because just keep in mind that when we place the implant, our judge is not myself, and is not my prosthodontic. The judge is always the patient, and the patient really doesn't matter if I put the implant very still, if the primary stability was 50 Newton or 60, if I performed a GBR. It just want a very natural, a very white, and very a very good tooth to give her or him a good tooth, a final crown well done. We have to think about not just the white zone, but even more to the pink zone. This is the periocare concept. Just keep in mind, we have to manage soft tissue around the implant to give the aspect of convexity, or the aspect of a natural teeth. And the natural teeth.
Okay. Let's move maybe a little back to the topic of soft tissue grafting. So you mentioned that 3, 4 years for the first time you used Mucoderm. Do you still use autologous grafts today in your practice?
Very interesting question. You know, if I remember, I wanna tell you a story. It was the 2017. I was in French lecturing about GBR, and 2017. I mean, 3 years ago. Okay, so look how quickly I'm changing my mind. I was in France with Ian Tugir, and I was speaking about advanced implantology. So for me, I was speaking about GBR and sinus lift, and I was very dogmatic. I said to these colleagues, I want that all the bone cover my implants. I want around my implants a huge volume of bone, because with that volume, I have to recreate the convexity of a natural teeth, of the natural teeth. That was me just a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. It was February.
And what changed?
What change? Probably change the question inside myself, because if I asked you me, or if every surgeon asked to himself, what do I want? I want around my implants. Well, if I can choose, I want a lot of bone and a lot of soft tissue, and if I can decide, I want keratinized tissue. But if I change a little bit the question, so what do I really need around an implant? Probably the question, the answer could be different, because actually, to keep still the implant, today I just need 6, 7, 8 millimeter. I was dogmatic. I just placed four per 12 implant. If I placed the 10 millimeter implant, I thought, I'm not good enough. And so the role of the bone has changed in my mind, because today is just I need bone just to keep the implant still. Otherwise, soft tissue is responsible for giving protection to the inner tissue, aesthetic, as we said, to the final crown, and comfort. This is the most important thing for me, and comfort while brushing and doing the maintenance.
I think your experience reflects a general trend, at least from my point of view, also going to different congresses there in the past years. There has been a shift from the focus on bone to the focus on the soft tissue. Now, when it comes to soft tissue management, in which situations would you use an autologous graft, and in which situations would you maybe use a biomaterial such as Mucoderm?
I don't remember last time I used the autologous bone. I mean, just probably the one I can keep from the drill when I was
I
there.
am. But talking about the soft tissue, I mean, do you still harvest soft tissue from the pelvis? Yeah. I mean, the question is, in which cases would you use soft tissue from the patient, like from the palate, and in which cases would you maybe use a soft tissue graft such as Mucoderm?
Okay, telling the truth, probably I'm shifting completely in the metrics field, because you know, the point is that one. harvest from the palate is a very, not easy, but simple technique. Okay, and although you can, we have a lot of valid techniques to harvest, and the time you need it's 10, 15 minutes. And you know, for me at the chair is also a very comfort surgery for me. So the focus should be shifted on the patient. And trust me, the difference between a patient harvested and a patient to which I place the mucoderm is huge. I have three split mouth I had, in which in the first case I performed the harvest, and the lady, they are always woman, and they said to me, no more, please, no more. It's very pain. It's very pain. And the second surgery, I used the mucoderm, and the all three, they asked to me, why just now? Why don't we use the first time? And actually, I had, like I told to you, the first time I use mucoderm, I can clearly tell to you the day I fell in love with mucoderm, because it was a split mouth for a gingival recession in a young lady. It has my age. It's my age. Yes, it's around 40. He has a brushing recession, and I used the CTG on the left side. And he said, it's very pain, it's very pain. I have pain. And in the second surgery, I said, okay, we can change the technique. I use an heterolog material. I did a poster for it at the last CDP Congress. And the outcome was absolutely the same. From the left and right side, the healing was the same. Probably, CTG is still faster during the healing, but that's probably is the only one thing I can choose the CTG instead of mucoderm.
Okay, so you're switching more and more to mucoderm because it causes less pain to the patient, it's less invasive, and you get similar results, if I understand.
Yeah, today the point of view of patients is becoming very, very important. The old surgeon who said, that's the way, just follow me, it doesn't work so well today.
So, Carlo, you mentioned earlier that you fell in love with mucoderm a couple of years ago. What were the reasons? Why did you fall in love with mucoderm?
Well, because it is simple to use, and simple, not easy. Because I had a learning curve during these 4 years. You can trim, you can cut the volume you need. Sometimes I put two layers, I stitch two layers to obtain more volume. The matrix was easy to suture, to be sutured at the flap or to the vessel, to the periosteum. It is very easy to be used. Very similar to the connective tissue. You can strengthen the suture with no problem. And it's very similar to the connective tissue, but you can have all you want. You know, if you have to figure out a gamma recession from the molar to the canine, to the incisor, well, it is 4-5 centimeter. I mean, 40-45 millimeters of connective tissue. Would you give me your 4-5 centimeter from your palate? It's hard to say. It's hard. Or at least I want to say, if I have no choice, you have no choice, you patient. But if I could choose between a material I have in my drawer or you have in your palate, what do you respond?
Yeah, probably most patients would choose the one from the drawer, from the box. And what are, from your point of view, how are the, I mean, you've been using Mucoderm since several years now. How is the long-term stability? How is the stability after 2-3 years from your experience?
As I said to you, talking about the my first case, today I can't see any difference between the two implants, the one with all the bone around it, or the one with 2-3 threads covered by Mucoderm. So the stability is absolutely, the stability is enough from a clinical point of view. Actually, I'm working, I've been starting 3-4 months ago, but you know, we have the pandemia during this time, and I was study the stability, the dimensional stability of Mucoderm with a small research I'm performing, just measuring, taking the measure of the soft tissue before the implant, taking the measure after the implant at 3, 6, and 12 months. For now, I have 4 and 5 patients, and the longest follow-up is just 3 months. What I can say to you is that using a split thickness flap, so giving to the Mucoderm, to the matrix, the opportunity to have blood either from the inner side or from the outer side, from the flap, the augmentation is not just 1.5, 1.7 millimeters, so the measure of the Mucoderm, but it's around, it's more than 2.5 millimeter. Just when I close the flap, and at 3 months, the volume is stable. Now I have to check at 6 and 12 months. When the research is ready, of course you will be the first to know it.
That sounds very interesting. I'm very curious already. Now, apart from Mucoderm, do you use any other biomaterials from the Botus portfolio in your daily practice, or have you any experience with any other biomaterials?
Well, you know, I have a nice story even with Cerabon.
Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah, because the first time we met, I said to you, I don't like Mucoderm. I don't know why. Actually, I know why, because then
you mean the Cerabon or
the Cerabon? What
you said you didn't like the Cerabon. Okay, so just as an information for our listeners, maybe Cerabon is a bovine grafting material. Okay, so go.
Yeah. Okay. So I used it for probably 1 year. Yeah. The first time we met. From a clinical point of view, but it was a little different from the bovine bone I was using in that time. And so I perform a huge GBR. I perform a sinus lift. I use it in all my clinical routine. But I don't know why. Probably just because the dentists are very lazy, mental lazy, and this is true, unfortunately. And so the difference from the other product to Cerebon made me think it's not good. The problem is, the good news is that following up those cases, I found great outcomes in terms of bone, in terms of blooding of the bone. I have to show to you a lot of GBR, very very impressive. I'm very proud of it. Unfortunately, I'm changing my job in soft tissue management, but I'm still using Cerebon in all the bone regeneration. Cerebon with JSON. If Cerebon in the first cases the comfort grow up using that with JSON with the membrane, it was love at the first time. That membrane is very very interesting. You can strengthen, you can fix, you can suture. It's very interesting.
Okay, so just to summarize, when you use the first time Cerebon, you had the feeling it's got a different handling, if I understand correctly, from what you've used before. But clinically, you're getting very, very good results. And with the JSON membrane, you immediately fell in love because of... can you explain a little bit why?
Well, it is a very small sheet. Once wet, you can. It's not easy. Okay, it is a very light sheet, very very small sheet. You can cut with no problem. You can trim in the shape you want, and you can place on the blood, and it is absolutely. It smoothly covers the bone.
Okay, so it adapts easily.
And if you are wrong for some reason, you know, you can use your scalpel, or you can or the assistant. The wrong is always of the assistant, and the membrane. Moved, you can just wash it, washing in a saline or just with the blood. You can strengthen once again, and the membrane started to be like the first time.
So you can very easily reposition it. It doesn't stick so easily to itself, if I understand.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool. In which indications do you use Mucoderm Carlo?
Well, we spoke a lot about soft tissue management, and for me, in my practice, that's the primary indication of Mucoderm. Either around teeth or around implants, but actually I'm used to place Mucoderm even using it like a membrane. I mean, when I perform GBR or GTR, even around the soft tissue, I often use Mucoderm. For two reasons. The first one, Mucoderm can separate the flap and the epithelium and the connective tissue from the blooding cut. And so the work as membrane is good. And more, he has a volume that could be keep the soft tissue away from the clot, so giving to the clot more time to make its job. So this is one of the indication. Even in GBR, but I'm starting using. I performed 2-3 cases during the restart after pandemia, and I'm very happy. I mean, 2-3 cases around the teeth. So using the old guided tissue regeneration, but giving a focus even on the soft tissue. One more indication could be I use it when in the ridge preservation. I extract the tooth and then I put Cerebon inside, and if I can close completely the flap, I prefer not to put the Jason membrane, but to put the mucoderm, using it like a membrane, for two reasons as well. The first one, physically, mechanically, mucoderm is stronger than Jason. And the second one, I note that mucoderm can heal even if left intentionally exposed. Not so much. I think a couple of millimeter, probably more. But if the management after the surgery was good, just with chlorhexidine or maybe with a gel of chlorhexidine, the outcome was very good. The healing was very good. And the closure of the flap after 2 weeks when I removed the suture is fantastic, and then you just have to wait 4 or 5 months for the bone regeneration. So we have three more indication.
Yeah. So you mentioned several points that I think from a Botus point of view I can really underline them. So the first one is that mucoderm, although it was developed as a soft tissue graft initially, it does have a barrier effect. So whenever you put it somewhere, it has both the effect of making the soft tissue stronger, but also has this nice side effect of being a barrier membrane. And yeah, I see it very, very similarly. There are several indications where you can leave it at least partially exposed and get a good result still. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Carlo, thank you very, very much for your time and for your very valuable insights. And yeah, thank you very much for having participated in this podcast.
It was a pleasure for me talking to you, talking about my passion, because my job is really my passion. And you both these guys helped me to my passion. Thank you.
Thank you.